Well, I say again, good morning. And isn't it good to be here this morning?
Amen.
There is a lot of craziness among us. I have lots of opinions on it. I'm probably going to be best served if I keep them to myself. I'm at a loss. I really am. You watch people panicking because something that may or may not be. But I can tell you, there's going to come a day when there's not a grocery store in the world that can prepare you for the day of judgment. And so that I really do. My prayer is that I hope that this causes people to think about their own mortality, to realize that at any time your life can be taken from you, and that I hope that they want to live forever with the one who created them. Last week we touched a little bit. We're going to be in the book of 2 Timothy this morning, in the fourth chapter. Last week we talked a little bit about how we're not to worry, that we're not to fear. In that same book, in Matthew 24:24, it says, "For false messiahs and false prophets will appear, and they will perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." The elect, in other words, people like you and I. That's might be a hard pill for us to swallow, but Satan is counting on it, and he is going to try his best to make that happen. He will confuse you. I want you to know, and I've said this before, Satan's not going to be in a red jumpsuit with a tail and a pitchfork and some horns on his head. Satan will appear like you and me and put his arm around you and tell you everything's going to be okay and that you've got this and you don't need anybody but yourself. That's the message that Satan will give you. If we're in a relationship with God, he tells us that his sheep will know his voice. So if we're where we're supposed to be in prayer and in scripture and living out our faith, we'll know his voice. We won't be confused. We'll know what's right and wrong. Satan roars around like a lion, seeking to kill, destroy, and devour. That's what he's here for. He has one job, and his job is to trip you up. He went as far as to tempt Jesus himself, and Jesus rebuked him with scripture. That's what we're to do. That's our armor. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is a letter that Paul writes to Timothy concerning the church. 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse 3. "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." Now, there's two ways that we can look at why Paul wrote this letter. One, he has seen this played out in other churches. Or two, we look around at the world today and we see this very thing happening. God's elect being confused. Mainline denominations losing sight of God's word. Morality is an absolute. It's not subjective and it's not relative. There is an absolute right and there is an absolute wrong. What happens is we begin to compromise. We begin to say, well, this may not be as bad as we thought it was. Things are different now. Jesus did know what it was going to be like in 2020. We can't live up to those rules. We can't live up to this standard that back then was easier. You didn't have anything, but now we have everything. So maybe our life isn't so strict. Maybe we find things acceptable. Maybe everyone goes to heaven. It just isn't true. There's nothing in Scripture to say that. This is all I have to live by, is His Word. If I can save myself, go back to Paul. Paul says, I was a Jew among Jews, a Pharisee of all Pharisees. I was from the tribe of Benjamin. But I consider that all rubbish when it comes to Christ. Because if I can do this on my own, then Christ died in vain. And he didn't go to the cross for nothing. He didn't go to the cross because later on down the road, we can decide what's good and bad. It's not this idea of what you can't do. It's the idea of what we want to do. Wisdom begins with fear of the Lord. And it's not this fear that the world's got you believing that God is this God who just strikes down lightning bolts and hammers if you don't act right. But that he pulls you out of the muck and the mire that you thought you wanted to be in. And he shows you what life truly is by his love, by his grace, by his mercy. And then we see things as he sees them. All of a sudden our desires change from material things to eternal things. We want to make things okay. We want to soften the road that lies ahead. We want to make certain things acceptable. And it's not. It's not. You're watching mainline churches today split. And the reason is, this side wants to say this is okay. This side says, his word says no. Somewhere in Scripture, I believe that I read that the path is narrow and few find it. But the path to hell is wide and many find it. This isn't an easy life that we live, that we're called to. See, we're called to this. We're invited to this. This isn't all-inclusive. This is exclusionary. God has a standard. And he's called us into a relationship with him, and he is showing us, this is living this word out, how we can live in his presence. I'm telling you, I've not been saved long. I lived the majority of my life on the other side. And it was no good. I've lived a short time on this side, and it's all good. Even through what we're going through today, you're watching the world panic. Forgive me. They have lost their ever-loving minds. It doesn't make any sense. We've bought into the hype that the media has sold. We fell for it. Now here's the kicker. It's not all non-believers that are doing this. I'm not condemning, convicting, or judging. I'm telling you what the Word says. You know what the Word says? This will all end. This will all pass away. Wars and rumors of wars. Famine. Diseases. All this is in his word. He told you this was going to happen. And we're absolutely panicking because we're not ready. Because we're not ready. I want to be ready. I used to say that I'll get ready on my deathbed. That's when I'll get it right. Okay, God, I feel like today could be it, and I'm really sorry about what I did. Could we just call it done? I want to be ready now. I asked the question, you remember when Christ was on the cross, and he's got thief on either side of him. And the one says to him, please, remember me when you go into your kingdom. And Jesus said, I promise today you will be with me in paradise. So we can't dismiss deathbed confessions. And once I got saved, now keep in mind I was a new Christian, I asked a preacher, should we be jealous of that guy who got to live out his life doing what he wanted to do and then got saved in the end? But what little bit of life I've lived as a Christian, I can tell you no. There's so much more to life as a follower. This past Monday, I had a procedure done for my disease. I have pulmonary artery hypertension. That's an upper respiratory disease. I'm one of the last people that should be in public, they tell me. Here I stand. And we get a little nervous when there's eight nurses coming at you and some of them got needles. And just as I began to get nervous, to fear, I prayed. I need you. God, I need you. Would you be with me in this? Would you go through this with me? There is such a peace that comes over you. A peace that surpasses all understanding. I get that there are churches with hundreds in their congregation who felt the safe thing to do was to not have church. It's not an easy call. It's not. I get it. God did tell us to be wise. We are to be wise in what we do. And a church isn't four walls and a building. A church is His people going out and doing His ministry. If church is to you just coming here on Sunday mornings, and that's the extent of church for you, come see me. We need to talk. It's more than this. And there are people gathering in their homes all over the world today in small groups, watching services online and praising God. Then He's in that. He's in it. But we're not to be fearful. We're not to be afraid. We're not to go to the grocery stores and hoard everything from our neighbor. The church in Acts shared everything they had in common with one another. That's the church. So if people went to the grocery store to buy everything off the shelves to share with their neighbors, yay, I'm good with that. But chances are, they're not sharing. I was reminded when all this started. You remember the Israelites when they were on their journey? Yay! God gave us stuff today. Boo, the next day, we don't want to be here. Yay, the next day, He's given us what we need. Boo, the next day, what are we ever going to do? I read this story and I'm like, come on, are you people kidding me? He parted the sea for you. You crossed over on dry land. You woke up, there was food. You went to a rock and there was water. You walked around for 40 years in the same clothes and shoes, and they never wore out. Is God so different today? He will provide. He knows what we need. And He will give it to us. Pray for our country. Pray for our churches. Pray for our families. Pray for ourselves. But the scripture hasn't changed. It changes lives, but it doesn't change. Over the years, the method of the church has changed. It's evolved. We didn't always have words on screens for us to see. We didn't always have musicians on stage to help sing. So the method has changed. Certainly, over time, it's evolved. But the message has never changed. It's always been the same. God, who created all things, will see all things through. The world wants us to believe that it's evolved, and because it's evolved, then the message has to change. That's from the devil. That's exactly where that comes from. There's a guy that I follow. You may have heard of him. His name is Ravi Zacharias. And he is without a doubt one of the most intelligent people I've ever listened to, read, ever. There isn't a religion he doesn't know about. There isn't a subject of philosophy he doesn't understand. And he enters into conversations with people who struggle with belief. Typically, his group is the upper intellect, if you will. He goes to places like Princeton, Harvard, Yale, Johns Hopkins, because people with high intellect struggle with faith. They need everything to make sense. Everything needs to be rational. They need to be able to understand it. So they struggle with the idea of faith. And so Robbie's whole ministry is helping the thinker to believe and helping the believer to think. And he gave a speech or lecture one night on absolute morality versus relative morality. And someone got up and said, "Why are you so worried about this for? What I say is good for me may not be good for you, but that's okay." And Robbie's first question was, "When you go home tonight, will you lock your door?" See, you can't believe in relative morality. It is absolute morality that we live in, that we have to live in. There is an absolute right and wrong. There is. There's an absolute right and wrong. And God's word discerns that for us. What is acceptable, what is not acceptable. In Paul's days, when he writes this letter to Timothy, you had the Jewish people who were absolutely against Jesus as this Messiah. Then you had other Jews who weren't quite sure, kind of buying into it, but we got to hold on to tradition. There's got to be circumcision. You can have your Jesus, we're okay with that. But you got to have circumcision, and you got to live by the rules, and you got to live by the law. And they were trying to change the message by tradition. That happens in churches even today. We hold on to tradition more than Scripture. We have to be careful of that. We do things so long we think it's acceptable. And so when someone reveals a truth to us, we have to be willing to hear it and to accept it. That this isn't right. Even though we've done this for 100 years, it's not right. What does Scripture say? This settles all arguments. I quit arguing with people. I'm not always right. And I don't know everything. That's hard for some of us to say. I don't know everything. But what I don't know, I find in here. I find it in here. What does God say? I'm not so sure that Paul's letter to Timothy wasn't for us today. Many people have gathered in buildings and are looking for someone to tell them what they want to hear. I've said it before. This is the most offensive book you will ever read in your life, and it should be. It's going to offend you. We talked about it. Constructive criticism. Sounds like a wonderful tool until it's pointed at me. Now you're just being mean and picking on me. This is God's holy word. He gave this to us so that we could have it, so that we could read about him, that we could know him, that we could know and understand his ways. His ways are higher than our ways. If we close this book and try to fend for ourselves, we'll look like our old self in a quick time. When I'm not on my knees, when I'm not reading His Word, when I'm not practicing what I preach, I look like the world. I sound like the world. I talk like the world. He has a remnant. He has a people. If Abraham would have told God no, would his plan have changed? He would have just found someone who said yes. His plans don't change. His ways don't change. His message doesn't change. He went to the cross because of it, so that we can be saved, that we can be in right relationship with God. I'm not justified by what I do. I was justified on a cross at Calvary over 2,000 years ago. If I try to get into heaven on my own merit, don't bury me in a sweater. It's going to be hot where I'm going. He loves us. He wants us back home with Him. But we got to know Him. We can't just read Scripture and say, I memorized the Bible verse. I don't care if you memorize the whole Bible. If you don't apply it to your life, if you don't live it out, believe you me, there are people who have studied this Bible just to prove it wrong. There are atheists who know this book more than a lot of Christians do. I don't want to just know about God. I want to know God. I want to know Him. I want, when a strange virus comes around, not to be in fear of my life. We can't buy into what the world is selling. We need to sell the world what we're into. That's what He told us to do. To be in the world, but not of it. Jesus said that they will know you by the way you love one another. That's how we are to be. So I pray this week, as you go out and you live this out, you'll make a difference. You'll make a difference. Listen, if you're not leading, you're following. God called us to lead. Lead them to me. That's what His disciples, that's what He taught them. Bring them to me. You lead them to me. I'll take care of the rest. Well, when everyone's running around like chickens with their heads off, if they find somebody who's rationally calm, hey, this guy's not freaking out, why not? They'll want to know why you're so calm, why you're not in fear. And even if this was the end, so what? Let's go. I'm on board. I'm all about it. But I've got family members who are lost, and I want them to be saved, and so does God. So while we're still here, we've got work to do. I think it's great that you guys came in this morning. Small churches are a good thing. God has a remnant. We are to be faithful, and we are to know his word, and we are to know his voice. So let me pray for you as we leave. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for the promises that are in it, for the man that you spoke through who put pen to paper and wrote it. This is your word. These are your promises. These are your commandments. These are your warnings. These are your judgments. And we're thankful for it. Father God, I just pray that you would be with us at a time that we need you desperately. So many are crying that the sky is falling. Let it fall. I want to see more of you anyways. We love you, God. And we want to look more like you. We know at times that we get frustrated in our humanness. We get mad. But Father, let us return to you just as quick as we do. Let us not give Satan a foothold. That's in your word. The reason is most people get a warning because somebody's already been through it or saw it. And that's you for us. You've seen this. You see all things. Father, you're sovereign over your creation. You created it. This is yours. And so I'm going to trust the one who created it. So Father, be with us. Guide us and direct us. When we need a nudge from you, give us that nudge. When we need a slight correction, give that to us. When we need a hug, give that to us. Be all things to us. We ask and pray this in your precious and holy and matchless name. Amen.